This is Masonic Muscle. I'm Cesar Rubio, and I'm back here with Jeff Gibson for another conversation. But before we do, no man should ever enter upon any great or important undertaking without first invoking the blessings of God. Great architect of the universe, in thy name we have assembled, and in thy name we desire to proceed in all our doings. Grant us the light, the wisdom, and the fortitude to continue to press on in our endeavors every day, in our endeavors with our lodge, with our brethren. Grant our brethren also the fortitude and the wisdom necessary for them to pursue and finish their endeavors at the lodge, and also any of our lodge family who has find themselves infirmed, please bless upon them good health, many more years to come. Amen.
Amen.
So mote it be. All right. In one of our last episodes, I don't know which one it was, you mentioned a couple of times just how relaxed you've been since, you know, the charter got pulled and we didn't have to be at lodge and doing all these things anymore. So I hit you up one day about this topic exactly, and we started to have a conversation, but I believe it's worth having again, even if we can't reproduce it exactly the way it was, because we never can and nobody can. But I think there's a lot of brothers that would benefit from what you're about to share with everybody. Not that it's a lot, but what he does have to share is, if you're a Mason, and if you've been active at a lodge, and if you've been an officer and you had to get recycled and you did it because of the love of the craft and love of the lodge, you know that you must have been feeling, or let me rephrase that. I know that you must have been feeling some of what Jeff is going to describe right now. So since we left, you know, you began to feel better, and go.
Well, since we've all been sidelined or left, whatever you want to call it, you know, I've had more time for me. You know how in Masonry we talk about a gauge, yeah, and partitioning, you know, your time. But in reality, you know, when you're adding to it, you know, you're not balancing that work life. That balance kind of can become a screw. And it's come back more into focus for me now. And it's been really pleasurable to be able to, you know, have a day off. You know the drill. We've talked about this. You take your day off, and what do? You go to lodge.
You're working at lodge.
Or you're working at home.
It's lodge.
It's lodge. So it's like you have two full-time jobs, plus your family, plus everything else that you do. And you know how we get involved with things. We don't just, you know, at least I don't just turn things off. Yeah. I mean, have you ever been laying in bed because your mind just won't shut down? And it's a miserable night.
Yeah.
And you can't stand it. So you get up and go for a walk, or you turn on some stupid old movie that you've seen a million times just to kind of zone out, and then you finally fall asleep at some point. But when you take that away and you put things in perspective and a balance, or they've been taken away, you have to reevaluate everything. What is important? What matters? Lodge is great. It's fun. But is it, you know, is it more important than my health or my spouse's health or my children's health or any of those other things, or the plays, or, you know? So when you start to look at the priorities of your life, it can really change. And then your attitude changes. Then your outlook changes. And then, you know, you just, for me, all of a sudden, you know, I went from somebody that kind of rarely smiled to all of a sudden I was walking around with a big-ass smile on my face every day. Be like, what's wrong with you?
But see, that's some of my question right there, because you're saying that your time in lodge didn't allow you to smile, or you just weren't smiling. So why were you so dissatisfied?
I mean, well, see, I wasn't dissatisfied. I enjoyed it. But here's the thing. Hmm. If you belong to an organization where you know, are running short, you're doing everything. So you just need to get it done. But there's kind of a silver lining with that.
Okay.
You're not arguing with five guys on how to do it.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay, here's what needs to get done. We're going to do it. I'm going to talk to the officers, and they're going to say, take care of it. and then you're going to do it, and then you're going to report it to the brethren, and then it's going to be done and get done, and you move on to the next task. So it's one of those things where you're not ruling by committee. You are, but you aren't, if that makes sense. You can get something done. So, you know, it's very freeing to have that all taken away, and you don't have to worry about things and stress about stuff. You're just like, okay. Like right now, I drive by our lodge, and the lights are out, and it's dirty, and there's no flag on the flagpole. And I just look at it and go, all right. And I go about my day.
Yeah.
You know, am I making arrangements to go buy a flag? No. Am I calling somebody to say, hey, there's no flag? Nah.
Yeah. How many times did you buy a flag for our lodge?
Gee, man, it's windy over there. We go through a flag every, I don't know, every 3 months. Jeez, yeah, there's a business for you. An American flag that will not shred apart in the wind. Made in America, please.
Yeah, but you're talking about a flag, a full-size flag, right? Not a little one.
No, it's a large flag that anybody would put on a building. Okay, look, you have a son that's off in college now. I know you miss him terribly. But isn't part of you like, he's out of the house?
Yeah.
He's in college. He's starting his life. Yes. I've done my deal, right?
Yep.
Aren't you happy?
Yes.
I know it's not, I don't mean it to be like, you know, bad. That's the way it's supposed to be. But as a parent, now you're like, okay, I don't have to check his homework anymore. I'm not driving him to a Little League game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to Boy Scouts or Brownies. I have my Saturday is now my Money. Saturday. I can go out with a friend and have a beer, play golf, or work out in the gym, whatever I want to do. Isn't that an amazing feeling?
But should we be feeling that way? I mean, that's not the way they sell it to us, man. When we start.
Isn't that bullshit though?
Hey, that's why I'm asking. It's like, you know, and I think we all felt that or similar feelings, you know, maybe not exactly like yours, but very similar, right? Because you begin to feel the grind. It begins to like, when is this ever going to end? When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? And now you're in this.
Well, then think about the guy that you bring along and you give him the degrees and then you never see him again.
Yeah.
And they're like, now it's not only is there a grind, but now it's defeating.
And we did talk about that because, yeah.
Yeah, we have.
Well, because that ties into this question now. Because if you're feeling that way and I'm feeling that way and a lot of Masons that are officers and donating their time and, you know, their charitable contribution to their lodge, then what are we supposed to be doing at a lodge then?
Right.
If it's not that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I'll go back and for us, I think that the aha moment was the fellowship, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was our aha moment. I told you I enjoyed, you know, Ted and Bill and yours last chat, and that was good. You know, I will never eat a steak with my hands and a salad, you pigs.
You should try it.
You know, there's a reason, you know, my forefathers, you know, and you know, came up with the fork. You know.
Okay.
It is. I'm not saying they were always clean, because it is a lodge.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's volunteer labor. So...
But what are we supposed to be doing in our lives?
Well, for me, I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoyed making sure things got done. It was a sense of completing a task, okay. Of well-being. But I don't see, you know, you were always the esoteric, you know, the ritual guy. You like the esoteric, the stars. You give a great talk on the solstices, summer and winter. You know, you give a great talk on the history of the lodge. You can bring all that together and alive for people. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. For me, I always took pride in the fact that, I mean, I made sure the lights were on so you could do those things.
Right.
You know, I made sure that the gas was on and I helped Hector, you know, prepare the food or serve the food. The bills were paid. So that's what I took pride in. Mm. I took pride in the building or in the lodge, how it was set up.
Yeah.
Or how things were done. So that when somebody came in and went, wow, this is nice. I like this. That's a moment of pride. Take pride in what you do. Now, do I walk in? I shake my hand. Yeah, I walk in. Okay, well, Jesus, this place looks like, you know, crap. But it's not my job anymore. And that's just it. I've learned to let it go. Some people like walk in, you know, the Masons that have been around for a long time. They walk in and like, oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. Oh, my God, look at this. And you have to realize, you know what? It's a new generation. Hey, I'm just here to enjoy myself.
Finally.
And that's...
We got our opportunity.
Yeah. And that's really awesome. That when you get that feeling, you know, you're just like, all right.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's all right. And somebody comes in and goes, hey, Jeff. You know, yeah. There's no toilet paper in the stall. Well, you better find somebody and tell them, boy. Well, I'm telling you.
I hope you don't go to the restroom.
Yeah, well, you better, you know, I don't know. You better find, look before you pull your pants down, buddy.
Yeah, we haven't installed a bidet yet, so you better.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's not my job no more, boss.
You better hold.
Yeah. Maybe you want to get in your car and go down and dry some toilet paper. Donate it to the lodge. So it's I don't say it's an epiphany, but it is an aha moment. And I think everyone has to come to it a little bit differently. Like, I can tell you that I see some officers that are sitting in chairs that come down and they walk in, man, they do not look happy being there. They are beat down. They don't want to be there. I don't take enjoyment in their pain, but you can tell after 2 years, man, it's weighing on them.
We somehow, and we've talked about it before, we got over that hump for us. We still took on a lot because that's what needed to be done. It was enjoyable. I'm not going to lie. You know, for me, it was very enjoyable. Everybody has their pet peeves. You just told us about yours, you know, and
sure,
and how that affected you but why you did what you did. But if you don't find that why you were there, you're going to leave right away. And we had our whys. Everybody that was there had their why as to why they were there. But, you know, having heard you, express, how happy you've become, how much more relaxed. I mean, yes, these are obviously going to be the results of people not dedicating so much time and focus and energy.
Managing your time for you.
For you.
You know, I don't know how else to say it. You're taking time out of the day for you, for whether it's exercise, whatever it is. You're putting you first for a change. And we really don't do that. Whether you have children or, you know, other obligations, you're not putting yourself first. And be honest, if you're going to be a leader, you should put others first.
In Freemasonry, that's what I learned even before this journey, you know, the first time when I became master in 2010, 2011, that was part of our theme. And with Luther and Ted and myself, it was, you know, you got to put the others first. If you're going to be one of the pillar officers, you are not a more powerful member. No, you are now in a position to effect the greatest change for the benefit
sure.
of the lodge. You know, so you're the greatest servant, in other words.
Correct.
So
I think that's missing in a lot of areas these days, sadly.
And that transforms how you function. I mean, you still have your responsibilities.
Sure.
But when you finally accept that, hey, I'm the greatest servant, I'm the most powerful servant, I can affect the greatest change, so how do I go about doing that? Now you want to go and talk to the sideliners. You know, now you want to hear what they got to say. Now you want to see what is it that they want, and can we accomplish it with the people that we have? And
well, it changes around. Like, I can tell you know, you used to tell me, you know, have you met these guys yet? They're new. And I'm like, geez, I'm busy. I don't have time to go meet everybody. Sure, get out of here, man. Leave me alone. Yeah. I got stuff to do. But now it's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, Jeff, nice to meet you.
Now you meet me.
Yeah,
now you have time.
You. All right, where are you from?
Yeah.
Sure, come on in.
Yeah. You know, and so in connection with that, you're talking about lodge, you're talking about it's clean. There's different types of lodges.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, I was thinking about it, you know, as we do before we, you know, sit down and talk, we always think, well, what do you want to talk about? Because, you know, we kind of sometimes do have a plan, even though it doesn't really seem like it.
It doesn't come off that way. Yeah.
But we really do try sometimes. But I started to think about, you know, defining a lodge and what is a lodge. And I'm like, okay, well, there's a research lodge. There's an observant lodge. There's a lodge that's social. There's a lodge, you know, I won't say ritual because that would be observant for me. There's a charitable lodge, and then you threw, and then we started talking about more of it because there are lodges where everyone has the same, you know,
career,
yeah. Or religion, or ethnic background. So there are all different types of lodges, and then of course me being me, it went, well, isn't that funny that in the state, everyone can have their own lodge, but Palm Springs.
That was an astute observation.
And then you just
coming from Rain Man.
You just laughed at me, and I'm like, well, I mean, if you think about it, what do they want us to do? Well, they want us to make Masons as fast as we can for the concordant bodies. Yeah. They want us to not hold our team members accountable. So if somebody can't do the ritual, we should just promote them because they've been there a long time. So it doesn't matter that they can't do a lecture. You know, but they deserve to sit in the East and get that past master's ring.
Mm.
But, you know, hey, the lodge in West Covina doesn't need to worry about that, or, you know, Rancho Cucamonga or Fresno or whatever it is. They can do whatever they want, you know.
But not us.
But not us. Huh. You know, we have to follow what, you know, the Grand Masters who don't come to our lodge, aren't from this area but retire here, want to bitch about. Well, I don't know how else to say that.
And there, and you're right, the different types of lodges, I think you pretty much enumerated. Outside of that, we have a lodge that's, all the Masons are magicians. If you get the California Magazine, if you're on social media, you guys saw the videos on it. And they made a big old, they had a big old campaign for it because I think they
did the Magic Castle or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then they did it in conjunction with Harry Houdini's, I think,
right.
birthday or something like that. And Past Grandmaster Randy Braille, and you know the magic show, and yeah.
Well, you know, I know what Braille's good at.
Yeah,
he's good at making charters disappear.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. This is true, and we still haven't found it. What?
Sorry, I totally just threw you off, didn't I?
Yes. Yes, you did. Again,
these are my personal opinions based on my experiences in Masonry.
And thank you for saying that. And I should have said that the last episode. Say it at this. I'll say it right now. You know, everything that's discussed here is our opinions and our opinions only. They don't reflect the opinions of any Grand Lodge officer, of any other lodge, of any other lodge's members. Blah, blah, blah.
And it might be they might be even fictitious and made up at some point.
Yeah, at some point. But
doesn't
the
mean
names,
they're factual.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Mostly.
And not innocent as well. So now, what's important to you now?
You know what? I am enjoying myself. I went out. I mean, you can probably smell it. I have some fruit trees on property.
Yeah.
And I went out and picked guavas for the second time.
No, those aren't it, right?
No, those are plastic those lemons, are fake, dude. Yeah. Those are fake. I have guavas over there. And I'll have another bunch of guavas, and in another month or two, I'll have some Meyer lemons, and then I'll have some mangoes, and some grapes, and some figs. And
nice.
I'm enjoying that. You know, it's not 120 degrees yet where I live, so it's still comfortable.
And you've been taking care of your health as well.
And again, I'm losing a tremendous amount of weight, and you know, my everything's looking good for my doctor, and maybe I can come off some medications, and I won't be, according to my doctor, you know, I'm type 2 diabetic, and as I sit here and eat candy.
Yeah. Get those things away from us.
You know, but again, you know, yeah, and I have time to spend with friends and family and brothers and make the occasional outrageous podcast and speak my mind. And again, I said it before, I'll say it again. It is truly amazing to be able to talk such trash. And it's enjoyable. You know, I mean, do I wish that your podcast? Do I wish your podcast had 80,000 followers a week and it was great, and you know that was the thing for you? And yeah, that would be wonderful. But am I happy just voicing an opinion? And God, it feels good. You know, we all sit around and bitch about what should be and what's wrong,
right?
But we don't ever do anything about it. So finally, it feels like you're doing something about it and putting it out there, regardless of whether somebody agrees or doesn't agree, or hey, you're an idiot.
You know, I just watched the and Joe Rogan. He finally had Graham Hancock and one of the more prominent archaeologists. You got to watch it because the way he dressed, and I mean, the archaeologist, yeah. I know what you were going for. I think it's Finkel, or I forgot what his name was, his last name. But, you know, he's this little dude, and he came in with this oversized coat and you know, and tie, and his cuffs were like way up to here. You know, I mean, clearly he didn't.
Sure, Professor Peabody.
Yeah, he did. And he had a hat. I get the hat. He was trying to be like Indiana Jones, and he never took it off. So he had his ear like right, this, and he was talking, and he was trying. But anyhow,
for those of you that can't see us,
yeah,
Caesar has taken his headset and turned it sideways.
Turn it backwards. But you know that's how he had it. But anyways, it was a 4-hour long debate.
I don't know if I could have made that.
And Rogan, it was very interesting. I didn't think I would either, but it was incredibly entertaining, man. I got to tell you.
I got to be honest. I don't watch a lot of Jura. I like Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen is, yes.
Yeah, I watched a couple
of
his.
You like him?
Yeah.
The sports, Rich Eisen's sports
guy. But he goes sideways so much.
What?
He does. He goes totally sideways. So it's not always about all the sports.
What is it then? What is it
could be anything, whatever he goes off of. And I'll tell you what, when he goes on there and he's got these old Hall of Fame guys, they have awesome stories.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
You know, because you got to remember, I'm a little bit older too now. So, you know, I don't, you know, I couldn't. You know, it's like, you know, again, I'll go back to Coachella. Yeah. One of my people I work with, like, you're going to go to Coachella? I'm like, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm like, get out the lineup. And they went through every band for 3 days. And I'm like, never heard of them, never heard of them, never heard of them. Heard of them, but can't list a song. Never heard of them, never heard of them, never heard of them. And it's the same now. I don't know who's playing for the Lakers anymore. Yeah. But if you want to talk to me about, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson and Norm Nixon.
Showtime, man.
You know, and
Chick Hearn, I mean, come on.
You know, and just, you know, what's his name? Clark Kent, Kurt Rambis. And just, you know, those guys, you know, Larry Bird, Robert Parrott,
I hate those guys, man. Those guys are so good. God.
You know? Well, there's a great thing on YouTube, it's from ESPN, about, I guess, Larry Bird was the ultimate trash talker.
Have you heard the stories?
Yeah, and they put the stories on there. Shoot. Again, Rich Eisen, and they're hilarious. You know your mom watching this? He's like, oh, here it goes, down. Yeah, and the guys he's going up against are like, these are all Hall of Fame guys.
Yeah. Well, I think one of them, I forgot who they asked, but he was another Hall of Famer. And they said, hey, we know about a story about you against Larry Bird and da-da-da. And, you know, the guy just straight faces says, that's true.
Yeah.
And the story was something to the effect of.
Him.
Yeah. It was something to the effect of, when we come out from timeout, I'm going to go over here. They're going to throw me the ball. You're going to come and try to block me. I'm going to shoot it over you for a three-pointer to win the game.
Yeah. And he goes,
whatever, right? And he freaking does it.
Dude, that's full of all those stories. Yeah. If you're ever bored and you want to listen to some awesome Larry Bird stories, it's on YouTube. Type it in, Larry Bird trash talking. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, but Rich Eisen, wow.
Yeah, there's good ones. You know, I started watching.
He got booted, I think, from ESPN. I think
he did. Yeah, he jacked. He's
What happened with that?
Was he the guy that was doing Chrissy Everett and he got smacked around?
No, that's Jim Rome.
Oh, that was Jim Rome. Yeah, Jim Rome.
I listened to him. He's great.
I don't do Jim Rome. But Chrissy Everett, you said it again.
Yeah. Say it one more time. Bam! I think he slapped him and then the chair or something.
Yeah, he flipped him. Yeah. So that was a good one. And I was listening to Steve Trevino, I liked. He's a comedian, but he has his wife on there. He calls her Captain Evil. That one's usually pretty funny. And there's guy. Oh, and Howie Mandel, believe it or not, he's got his daughter. They have as his
you
engineer.
Were telling me about that. Yeah.
And he had on RFK Jr.
You were telling
and
me.
And that was that. Actually, it was a pretty good segment.
He was recently on the Hodge Twins.
Yeah.
It was hilarious, man. Because do you watch the Hodge Twins?
No.
You got give them a chance. They're twins, obviously. They're two black ex-Marines.
Right.
But they're great. They are great. They've had all kinds of. They make fun of all kinds of stuff.
Right.
You know, but their presentation, everything is great. But they had them on. They had a what's his name? But JFK. That's not Junior.
RFK.
Yeah, RFK. Yeah. That's his uncle, right? That was
his uncle was John Kennedy.
John. So he was on there, and they were talking about something, and I think it's Keith and Kevin, I think, or whatever. But one of them is, like, the more aggressive one.
Right.
And he's the one that's always saying, like, oh, he's homosexual, isn't he? Like that, you know, and it's like,
right.
Okay. But going back to the Rogan, and so those all sound like great podcasts. I mean, Rich Eisen, now I'm going to have to look for him and listen to a couple of his and see. Because I always liked him on ESPN. He was great.
Right, yeah.
I loved him. So anyhow, going back, it went on for 4 hours, man. But you know what? Free-flowing. I mean, Rogan had to jump in and ref a couple of times because it was getting heated. And these guys were going back and forth, you know, because Graham Hancock, he's not an archaeologist or a geologist, but he writes about ancient civilizations, the possibility of ancient cataclysm, the survivors of these ancient civilizations, sure. And then they're the ones who restarted civilization. Well, in the archaeological community, he is scorned and he is ridiculed. And,
right.
And the guy that they had on is like one of his biggest nemesis.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a couple of times where they went back and forth. I honestly think that Graham Hancock got the better end of that conversation. He was well-read. He had a bunch of presentations. So did the archaeologist. And he said some things that were I hadn't thought about before. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, those aha moments.
Yeah, yeah. But I will tell you this. The way he came off, that archaeologist, and he did it a number of times. He was like a little weasel prick.
Yeah.
Just... What a weasel prick, man.
That's how you say it.
You know, just what's the matter with you, dude? So there came a point, I think it was in the third hour, where Graham Hancock finally gets it off his chest that, hey, you guys slandered me. You wrote an article because the guy's like, I didn't know. I didn't. He's like, oh, you didn't? He said, huh, that's funny. Let me pull up the article.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I love the internet.
Yeah. So basically, in the article, that guy clumped Graham Hancock together with white supremacists, misogynists, or what do you call it?
Misogynists.
Misogynists and all this other stuff. And he's like, why? Why did you do that? He's like, well, what I was trying to do. And then that's when like, you weasel, you don't even want to answer this thing. Like, say, so you didn't say it. No, I didn't. So you didn't write that. So Rogan had to get on him and say, so you didn't write that. Wait a minute. He's like, wait, time out. Rogan had to jump in. Like, wait a minute, time out.
It's your name. By the
yeah. Way. Are you telling me you didn't write that? Well, yes, but no. It's a yes or no. And so those little points, you know, kept carrying the whole, where, and even the times that Rogan jumped in and said some things, you're like, wow, you know. So it was worth 4 hours.
I am by no means... a scholar of anything.
Yeah, you and me both.
But. You know, but I got to be honest, you know, some of that stuff is very interesting. It's kind of, you know, I know scientists try to explain everything through their hypotheses and their methods. And I understand and I respect all that. But, you know, come on. There are pyramids in Egypt, Southeast Asia.
All around the world.
You know, Mexico, South America. And they're all aligned with the stars. You know, and they're all laid out.
These temples.
Temples are all laid out. Yeah, come on. That really? Coincidence?
He didn't have anything to say about that because he's an archaeologist. And he's, you know what his specialty was?
What?
I think from what I understood, it's in agriculture.
Well,
and like seeds and stuff. So
yeah, that's still.
It's very important because when he was given a chance to break it down, I was like, oh, okay. So we can actually trace when the seeds were domesticated.
Sure.
And where and when and how and by whom. I mean, they have it pretty... But that doesn't explain the buildings of these temples.
Well, even that, like, isn't there like... What is it called? The Rosetta Stone of America, where there's these stones they're finding throughout, you know, the continental United States. Yeah. And there's, you know, hieroglyphs and these things on them. And they don't, you know, and they don't explain anything. But everybody's freaked out because they shouldn't be there.
They shouldn't be there.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't mesh with the times and the dating of these things.
I think they brought that up a little bit, but that guy was quick to say that, you know, that's not my specialty. But he was quick to dismiss a lot of these other things, and they're like, wait a minute, I thought that wasn't your specialty, you know, but you're, you know, and you know, have you ever been there? Well, no. Then how do you know? He's like, because I read. Like, no. With these sites, you got to go down there, and you got to spend time.
Well, I think he's it's a sign of the times, but I have not seen it. I don't know his work, and I haven't seen him or read anything by the gentleman you're talking about. But I, you know, I do know that people read something on the internet and they think it's the gospel.
They go with it.
You know, Wikipedia is, you know, oh, it's Wikipedia. Well, that's Encyclopedia Britannica, and you know, that's the way it is, and here we go.
Well,
and you know, we both know that's, you know, that's not necessarily the case. Just because it's in print or online doesn't mean it's, you know, I saw there was a great article. I forget what magazine it was, but it was online. It was a snippet, and it was like Coachella moving to Washington State 2025.
Coachella Fest?
Yeah. And it was a long article, and it listed where they were going and what park they were going to. And,
is that true? Is that the done deal?
And it was the whole thing, and it was maybe, you know, 2-3 pages, and they listed the band, the part, and it was awesome. And then at the very bottom of it, in really tiny print, it said, April Fools. But you had to read the whole, yeah, you had to read down 3 pages, and you're like, wow, really? Oh man, geez, this is gonna suck for the economy.
Oh no!
And then like the font was 3 times too small, and it was like April Fools, and you're like, oh, you SOBs.
Well, you know, we don't even have to go that far. Look at, and you mentioned it, you know, maybe about 15 minutes ago, the origins of Freemasonry. I mean, within our craft, we have all these. And I'm going to start in
where are you going to start? Which one?
In my podcast, I'm going to start breaking down a bunch of different theories of the origins of Freemasonry.
Which one do you like? I like 2.
That's a good question. You know, that's a good question.
For me, I like 2.
I like the monks.
No.
The monks order, because that
the Templars.
That involves the Knights Templars and some other monk organization. You're talking about the Cistercian, the Benedictines, and also the Jesuits. It's not just
the Jesuits, because they're the ones that took out the Templars. Not just,
I know, but it's
a lot of the stuff.
Well, it wasn't them. The Jesuits weren't around yet.
Well, they Jesuits, were the Holy Benedictine, whatever it was called.
Morphed into the
Hospitallers.
Yes, the Hospitallers. They were there. They were the rivals.
Well, they were the ones that became the Jesuits.
You might be right. I haven't.
I believe.
I haven't investigated it.
I will bet you a gummy bear.
But I like those are good, by the way. I don't like that. I don't like that bit.
Non-edibles.
But I like that elements of that one, that theory, and then the man. I just had it, but we started talking about this, so I lost. I lost my train
of
thought.
Welcome to my world,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. There is some Masonic, some Masonic guild, but not the way people think, I believe. And then, go ahead and tell me yours. Maybe it'll trigger me.
I like the Templars because it checks all the boxes. The Templars were not just warrior knights. That was just one section, and it was the least amount of them.
That's correct.
They were bankers and farmers,
scribes.
Yeah, yeah. They did everything else.
What would they call that? Confessors or whatever.
Yeah, they were from the nobility.
Yeah.
They were, you know, that checks all the boxes. And here's, that just checks all the boxes. They were in all the courts of Europe. They were the treasurers.
Yeah.
You know, so that for me, I like the Templars. I especially like the story. Like if you look at the founding of Switzerland. There was a country that was basically farmers and peasants. Then all of a sudden, you know, they beat whoever they beat in the war. Mm. And, you know, and they had, all of a sudden they had an army with knights, you know, overnight. That tends to follow a grain of truth for me that I can see. I don't really buy the Templar fleet disappearing and becoming the pirates. Is it plausible? Sure.
Yeah.
Do I think that you know, who knows? But, yeah, I'm not buying that one. And then I do like the guilds because the modes of recognition, you know, keeping things, it fits the pattern.
Well, it's somehow in following the Knights Templars origin theory, part of that is that they grafted themselves to the guilds, to the Masonic guilds, and so those end up meshing together at some point.
Well, also I think too it depends on. My understanding of it, again, I'm no scholar, but a lot of the places, you know, Portugal, Spain, they, you know, just
England.
When the Friday the 13th happened, they weren't all, you know, France, certainly the majority were taken, but they weren't rounded up at Scotland.
No, they refused. Portugal, they didn't even listen to the
Portugal, Spain, with the Moors, because, you know, the Christians were fighting the Moors on the Iberian Peninsula. So, you know, what better place to go? You know, you want to take my warriors? What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So You know, I think there's enough evidence that they dispersed through other realms. And then eventually the popes, you know, just kind of absorbed them into other orders. And they moved through. Were they destroyed as an order? Yes. But were they completely obliterated? No.
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 No. But I think that's proven, too. I think that the ones who were given asylum or in the countries that they're like, hey, you can just join that monk order right there. You know, and if you guys want to restart it again later on, you guys can.
I don't know, but I like the story of how they had a Templar on trial. And they always say, Dean Millet was burned at a stake, but they would be on trial. And then during the trial, you know, 10 knights would show up. And they'd be found not guilty.
Yeah, they're innocent.
They were innocent.
We were just kidding.
And they were set. Yeah. They were let go.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, they showed up like that. Now, one of the other theories, like I said, I'm gonna be breaking down quite a number of them. And they're going to, not in depth, but enough to get everybody's mind in the right direction to let you know that there are many different theories on the origins of Freemasonry. It is something worth investigating if you're a Mason and if you like history. Is there a clear-cut answer? No, but it does tend to begin to go to where you're saying.
There are a lot of great books on it, but they... You know, I forget. There were two books that I read, and they're both by a gentleman named Dan. I can't think of the last names now. No, it's not Dan Brown from the movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one because one, you know, said a story. The other one completely contradicted it. And it was interesting. And I actually believe the second one to be more truthful.
Okay.
The first one was the Templars were the shock troops. They were the Delta Force of their time. They're the ones that got sent in.
Mm-hmm.
They never were ransomed. You know, they never surrendered. They fought to the death and scared the hell out of everybody. And then on the second one, the guy's like, "Yeah, it's not necessarily true."
Yeah.
You know, the Grandmaster, and he named him. You know, he was ransomed at one time, and you know, and these guys surrendered, and then they came back around, and then they fought over here. And I'm like, it makes a little more sense, a little more common sense to me.
I think the other one.
I have the book. I'd have to go look it up.
The other theory, and we kind of touched upon it, has to do with the. With the spy network.
Yeah.
And so the whole structure that we know of was created as a spy network to withhold, you know, trade secrets and, you know, secrets from the crown from the Spanish Empire. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I'm not sure if it was like Sir Isaac Newton or Francis Bacon. I'm not sure which one of them that were a genius, and they were a genius at codes and everything. So they helped to create this system that we know and grafted themselves on to the Masonic guild system.
It's always been, you know, like, you know, it's always been, it's always been mouth to ear.
Yeah.
Always until recently. Always.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have my dad's cipher from like 1952.
It's got to be the same. He wasn't supposed to have it though.
But there was no ciphers then. So nobody's supposed to have it, but they all did.
Yeah. Solomon's followers. Or
something. So when you read it, you're kind of like,
it's a little leather book.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah. But it's weird when you read it, like, huh, interesting.
Yeah. So someone made a ton of money.
And some of it you can make out, and some of it you're like, the hell is that?
Yeah. What is that? So I wonder how they did it back then to be able to learn correctly.
I can tell you from my uncle, I haven't talked, my father and I never talked about this, but my uncle, who's a Mason, talked about it. He said, he was coached. It was mouth to ear, and he said it was horrible.
Really? Why?
Because they just drill it. You know, this is how you say it. This is how you say it. You know, the word is, you know, if you don't get it right.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, you know how people sometimes skip a word here or there. It wasn't like that then.
Yeah.
You know, you needed to be spot on.
So, I mean, it's the same. So what you're saying is that it was the same thing back then with this system of codes and passwords and.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll bring it up. I wrote these notes down in one of my little notebooks as far as what it was. And then they even mentioned, as I was reading during that time, and this is like in 2011, I think, 2010, 2011. I wrote down in from another book or something that Dave Roos, R-O-O-S, he also was involved in creating this system, but also the Rosicrucian system as well for the same purpose. Because the Rosicrucians utilize even more symbols that are supposed to be mystical symbols and the alchemy, you know, turning. Right. But that was actually code for coding symbols to take back and forth from the King of England to wherever. And there was no possible way that the Spaniards would be able to crack this code.
Who knows? If it's a one-time pad cipher, that's virtually, impossible.
Yeah, I mean.
But again, you start throwing symbols in and, I don't know. I'm not a, but it would be interesting to go down to UCLA and listen to what the ladies speak about all this.
Yeah, Margaret, no, she absolutely not. She says absolutely not. I've watched some of hers on YouTube and then I have a few of her books. She's more of the idea that the Masons, especially in the United States, before this, it was the United States, were the impetus for our democratic and republic ideals here.
Well, of course.
I mean, that goes without saying, right? Yeah. I mean, we didn't need her to tell us that.
We need a PhD in UCLA to tell us that?
Apparently so.
All right.
Apparently so. And she's regarded as like a world-renowned Masonic historian in that realm, not right. in the other realm. But I've seen her come out on documentaries and they'll ask her, do you think Freemasonry, was infiltrated by the Illuminati? Absolutely not. Do you think that? No. No. Just no. All the way. Well, what do you think? Well, I think, and then
right.
gives her a spiel. So that's where she's at. But going back to my, your question with me, that's my second one was the, somehow these not military, what do we call them? Spy networks.
Yeah. We talked about that.
Helped to create the, and that's, but that one right there is not talked about as a, not conspiracy theory, as an origin theory.
Right. Yeah, I don't know because, if you think back then, you had the nobility who was deathly afraid of, the republics and democracy. And
the Jesuits,
and then you had the Catholic Church. Then you had, if you go after 1776, you have the Revolutionary War, which didn't end until the late 1780s. Yeah, and then you had the French Revolution, and that, we all know how well that went. You got Napoleon.
Yeah.
So, and then you have, then you have Hitler. You get World War One, the end of Bismarck, then the Nazis, then the communists. So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to think if it's all intertwined somehow.
I believe it is, but how
do I
so?
Do I think Masonry affected that, all of it? No. Do I think they affected the Enlightenment? Yeah, they're children of Enlightenment. That's Ben Franklin. That's what they believed in.
That's what they were in. As a matter of fact, I think there's letters to like either Thomas Jefferson, I forgot which one of the founding fathers, about the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys heard about the Bavarian Illuminati, blah, blah, blah? And he flat out says, yeah, I think Adam Weishaupt is not like an enlightened thinker or something like that, but he liked what Adam Weishaupt and the Bavarian Illuminati were proposing, which was freedom of speech, freedom of religion, abolishment of the feudal system, right. Allow people to have property, da da da, all these sure. things. The Illuminati, they did espouse that, but later on we find out that Adam Weishaupt was using it to make himself the big dog.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's what I know. Did being a brother help Benjamin Franklin make connections in France and help him with the French court?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a direct result of that we have the United States of America?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Did it cause some problems for them with the French Revolution? Yeah.
Yeah.
Going before or after that, again, it's 1717. I don't know. Did Masonry come to this country through the, British? Of course. I don't believe it was brought over by the French.
No. No, it wasn't.
So, it's the British. Do I believe it was the army? Certainly. Yeah. And that's how it wound through here. But why does it, why is it that we have, every state has a Grand Lodge. We don't have the Grand Lodge of the United States. I wonder why that is.
No, the founding brethren they stopped that shit dead in its tracks when they were proposing it. Back in 1779. I mean, they were hot to trot over that idea.
Yeah, but if you think about it, George Washington could have been king.
That's one of the reasons why. So, I believe he was fully aware of the Masons proposing that, and yeah, I think he said nah.
So it's all very interesting, yeah. But you know, it's still conjecture and will always be conjecture.
Unless... So you like the Knight Templar / Guild?
Yeah, that's the way I tend to lean.
But I mean, don't you think they're connected, man? I mean,
they are.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're slightly different times. You know, I think when the Templars were going into you know the Holy Land for the Crusades, because I think they went to what, 1 and 2, but then they were gone.
Yes.
So then, you know, they weren't there for the latter ones. You know, and then the guilds were building, you know,
cathedrals.
Yeah. You know, I think, does it intertwine? Sure. But, you know, that would be, I'm most comfortable with that timeline.
Yeah, because the Templars, they got arrested in 1307.
Sure.
And then they got disbanded, I don't know when, five years later.
Yeah, whatever. Or whatever. Languished yeah. in jail. Okay.
The Regis manuscript is from 1390.
Right.
All right. But they say it's from an older copy. And I don't know how much older, 10 years, 50 years or whatever. And that was from a Masonic guild, from my understanding. I could be wrong on that.
Well, I understand, but it's funny because we're glossing over the whole, you know, temple. The Temple Mound.
Well, the temple, Knights Templars were there.
Solomon, but according yeah. to, you know, according to a lore, that would be something even farther back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it pushes Rome, it back. Yes.
So, really, you know.
Well, I mean, just think about it. What you're bringing up is a good point, because if that connection were to be made, it automatically launches it back to where you just said. Now we got this link going back to 900 BC during King Solomon's time.
Who knows?
I mean,
and if it was Solomon, did it start with Solomon or did it start with David?
Before,
or did it start with
Moses?
Or, you know,
yeah. I mean, that's weird. It just takes you keeps going back and back and back, and now people get scared, man, with these possible links. I don't know how people don't get scared with the Vatican existing for 2,000 years and saying, "Holy shit!" But all of a sudden, you throw this other stuff in there, like what? You know,
well, it's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, they have the, you know, they talk about the Vatican archives. I mean, even now, you saw a thing about the Herculaneum scrolls,
yeah.
from Pompeii, and they're just now being able to take them apart and read them. Yeah. Isn't that creepy?
Yeah,
buried for thousands of years, sealed in ash from a volcanic eruption, and now they can take it apart, put it back together, and they're starting to read them. That's crazy.
I wonder what it says, man.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, because they have to have learned something that they were not expecting.
Look at all the cool things that are out there. Like, you know, the Library of Alexandria is gone, and no one knows what was really in it, and there's no record of it. But then if you look back at the ancient, you know, Romans or Greeks, and you know, they had mechanical tools. They had mechanics.
I know.
Like hydraulic. They had mechanics.
That boggles my mind when I think about that.
I mean, they made mechanical. I was watching a water fountain the other day, and they're like, "Yeah, this is from 300 BC." I was like, "What?"
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was one that they say, according to myth or legend, that when the sun would hit it at a certain time, that's when the fountain would turn on.
Yeah, I believe it. And then what was the other one? They have the box. And they knew it was a box of something, and it was mechanical. They couldn't figure it out.
Oh, the computer.
And then they finally said they figured it out now.
Yeah. Well, that was a computer, dude. Yep. That's what they say.
Yeah.
The device of Antikythera, I think, because it was found off the coast of Antikythera. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, and it calculated, I mean, the gears, and it calculated into the thousands of years, and it can tell you. So they're saying that was on a boat. And that these boats had them, so they would.
I don't know.
How the hell did these guys, and they know that it's from that time period. That's the thing.
I do not understand, nor do I know. Well, if you start to put it all together in the grand scheme of things, it gets to be a little kind of mind-boggling.
Why don't you focus on that Grand Lodge instead of other things?
Yeah. Well, I'm having a nice conversation, and nobody else probably is going to care about it. You know, why ruin it with Grand Lodge talk?
I know.
What have we done? 10 or 11 of these now?
I think so.
You know, 10 or 11, and you've had maybe 5 or 6 other guys on, and then you've obviously done your workout, Masonic Muscle ones. You've had, you know. I mean, how many episodes do you have now?
I think over 100 now.
All right. Yeah. And maybe 20 deal with our shenanigans total. You know, so, you know, I hear they, oh, I worked out today. My buddy came over.
Yeah.
You know, I took my steroids, you know.
Roid it up, boy.
Roid it up. Yes. You know, I'm benching 25 pounds now. Hell, it's awesome. Yeah.
I snorted some pre-workout.
So, you know, I'm like, yeah, I went over and I sat on my testicles because they're hanging that low now. And, and I have a hernia. Thank you so much.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got a good workout today before I came. So nice. I just took a shower and you know, that's why I was hungry.
But see, again, this is why I'm enjoying the company. I'm laughing. We've had a fairly decent conversation about a number of topics that no one's going to care about.
Yep.
And I found it thoroughly enjoyable. And that's why. That's why I'm in a good mood.
Because we're...
That's why.
Well, and there you go. It took you 50 minutes to finally tell me that's why.
There you go. That's why.
Well, any last words?
No, you know what? Again, you know, it's always nice to have these chats. I wish we had something more in-depth to talk about maybe next time. And we'll have more business to cover.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot going on, and we're plugging along. And, you know, again, these are... the opinions that I have, and I wish that there were more people that thought about things like this with us. Yeah, you know, I'm sure there are, and there's nothing wrong with the lodges that, you know, want to go out and have a barbecue and and do Masons for Mints. I think that's great, but you know, I think there should be room for some other things too. You know, and there was nothing wrong with the programs that we were doing, and there's nothing wrong with vetting someone for a time. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing your best. And it's too bad that, you know, politics gets in the way of those things sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with holding each other to a higher standard?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know what? We're all people. I mean, did I wear a tie to every meeting?
No.
No.
I hated you for that.
I know. Well, you know, and you didn't use a fork, so screw you.
Well, that was only twice.
Yeah.
You showed up without a tie many times.
That's right.
Many
more you know times what? Than that. God bless America.
Yeah. And pass the ammo.
Pass the ammo. But, you know, but that's just it. You know, it's thoroughly more enjoyable now. And I'm very sorry for the brethren that are feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, and for those that aren't stepping up to help, you know, like we didn't know.
Yeah. And this is true. I mean, for those of you who, thank you. For those of you who have been, you know, waiting for an update on the lodge, you know, our charter is still suspended, and brothers have stepped up, and they're working on their proficiencies. They're working on different positions, memorizing, and they're working hard and diligently to fulfill what the Grand Master asked them or told them exactly what they were supposed to do in order to either get an extension, or to get their charter back and move forward, basically, and to get in the best position to get the charter back. And so to those brothers, yes, the same thing. Good luck to you, brethren. Continue to work hard. Stay focused. You know you have to be disciplined. You know that you have to put in the work. I can't memorize it for you. Gibson can't memorize it for you. You guys have to sit down, find some time, get together, break bread, have a drink, and study together. And that's the way it's going to get done. So... with that, thank you for inviting us, inviting me to your house again.
Oh, thanks for coming over.
Yeah. Again, you know, those beans were freaking great.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for a brother. Who knows? It's still an enigma, a mystery. He might show up. He might not. And with that, guys, peace out.